Hi again, and welcome to Amran's Podcast, episode 144. It's Tuesday, February 24th, 2009. This is actually the third time I've recorded this podcast, or at least started it. I started on Friday and just couldn't finish it. Yesterday, I actually recorded the entire episode, put the outro on and everything, and then there was an item in the news that changed my main topic. Oh, well, things happen. So today, I'm going to try again. And I'm going to start today with some updates and some various things that I've talked about recently. And then after that, what was originally the main topic yesterday was about the blackout that you may be aware of, the Internet Blackout Campaign, and what that was all about. But first, a little bit about the Oscars. And very little about the Oscars, I might add, because it's not that interesting. But just one thing I wanted to mention in passing was, if you saw Kate Winslet when she was giving her acceptance speech, one of the people she mentioned was Peter Jackson, which of course had nothing to do with her movie Revolutionary Road. Well, the reference, if you don't know, was to her first film, Heavenly Creatures. She auditioned for the part she played of Juliet, and she was one of 175 girls who auditioned for that part, and she was the one selected. And of course, it all started there, really. And if you haven't seen the movie, it's a fascinating movie. It's based on a true story about two girls who form a very close relationship and have a very rich fantasy life. And the parents become concerned that their relationship is becoming lesbian. Oh, no. So they decide to split them up. And one of them decides the way for them to be free and to run away to America together is to kill one of the girls' mothers. And so that's what this story is all about. And as I say, it's based on a true story. The film was filmed in pretty much all of the original locations where the story actually happened in Christchurch in the South Island, including the place where the murder victim ate her last meal. They actually, when the murder scene was being filmed, they actually went to the exact spot where she was murdered. But Peter Jackson said that the birds and everything stopped singing, and it was just, I think, a bit too creepy. So they decided to move it about a couple hundred meters down the path a bit further. So it's very close to where the actual murder happened. So that's just a little bit of a reference that you may not have known otherwise. And that's what that was all about. Now, to some updates and some things I've talked about recently. First, the wildfires in Australia. They're still going on. They're still alight. And they may go on for a while yet because Australia is still having quite hot weather. The death toll at the moment stands at 210 dead, with more likely to come as they discover more bodies. 3,900 square kilometers were burned, which is about more than 1,500 square miles. 1,800 farms and homes were destroyed. More than 7,500 people were left homeless by all that. But one of the things that really caught me by surprise, I suppose I should have thought about it a bit more, was that you probably saw the footage of the Australian firefighter who was helping the burned koala, giving him his water bottle and all that. Well, apparently, there were tens of millions, it's estimated that there were tens of millions of individual animals who either perished in the flames or will die because their habitat has been destroyed. Now, that's pretty horrific in itself to think of that much natural world death. But some of those creatures were just, you know, ordinary animals and so on, but they now fear that some of those may now be endangered because of the losses suffered in the fires, and there are some they fear may have gone extinct. Now, they won't know, of course, for quite a long time until they have a chance to do a proper, I suppose, census is the word, and that's not going to happen for a while yet, especially when they're still fighting the fires. So 210 people dead makes it the biggest peacetime disaster in Australian history, and the country had its National Day of Mourning on Sunday, and apparently every February 7th now they're going to stop for a moment of silence and lower the flags to half-mast and all that sort of thing. So it's a very big deal for Australia. But one other thing that's interesting about that is in the few weeks leading up to the fires, Australia, southern and southeastern Australia in particular, had some of the hottest temperatures for longer than I think ever. I'm not sure about that, but anyway, it was a huge heat wave. And more than 200 people died in the heat wave alone, and that's even before the fires started. So this has been a devastating summer for Australia, and it's something I think that they're not likely to forget anytime soon. Now, this is going back way back, but longtime listeners may remember my mentioning Tim Barnett, who was the Labour MP for Christchurch Central, which is the central city electorate in Christchurch. And he, let's see if you can follow this, he was the world's first openly gay person elected to a first term in a national parliament. And what that means is that he was openly gay and then elected. All of the others up until that point had been already elected and then came out. So he was a first. Now, since then, there have been others elected in several other countries, including the U.S. But at the time, he was the first. Well, he decided not to run in the last elections, last November, and has now taken a job, I believe it's with the UN, but at any rate, it's international AIDS work in Africa. So he will be leaving to do work in Africa on AIDS. Before he entered Parliament, he was on the board of the New Zealand AIDS Foundation, and I think that he had done some work on AIDS as well in his native England, but I'm not positive of that. So that was a bit of an update. And also, former Prime Minister Helen Clark is in New York at the moment for interviews for a relatively high-level UN job. I'm not very clear on what the details were. I tried to have a quick look before I started recording, and I couldn't find it. I'm not sure that they've talked about it in any great details. But I think it's got something to do with development, but I'm not positive of that. At any rate, it has been said that there has been pressure from third world countries that someone from the developing world should be chosen for that job rather than somebody from the first world. So it's possible that Helen Clark won't get that particular position. But she had been widely rumored, to be in line for Secretary General before the current one was chosen. And actually, I think she would make an excellent diplomat of one sort or another, because she's very good at not, flying off the handle or whatever. Very measured, and I think she'd be quite good at a position like that. But we'll see. We'll see. Now, also in the area of updates, this is about the podcast itself. Those of you who don't listen to the Politicasts won't know this, so I'll tell you that Jason and I are spinning them off into their own podcast, which will be called Too Political, the number 2 and political. And eventually it'll have its own feed and all that sort of stuff. At first, it's going to continue on in the Amarin's feed, but it's going to have its own name. It'll say Too Political at the start of it, so it'll be very easy to tell which ones are which. And we're doing it because, as I said on that podcast, that the political chats, interesting as they are for me, don't really fit with what Amarin's is. Amarin's is my personal journal podcast, so it's about me. It's about New Zealand and this part of the world. It's about being an expat and all of those sorts of things. And domestic U.S. politics don't often relate to that very well. So, I don't know. It just didn't seem to fit. And so that's what was behind the move to make it a standalone podcast. And eventually, it'll be possible to subscribe to just that for those who don't want to subscribe to this podcast. And, of course, that will eventually mean that I won't post it to this feed anymore. But that's probably a while away, so you don't need to do anything right now. It's just kind of a warning that that's happening, really. However, you also may remember my mentioning this Podomatic feed, sometimes called my old feed. And Podomatic was the original host for the Amarin's podcast before I set up my own and changed the feed and all that sort of thing. Well, I have been posting to Podomatic ever since, and I intended to stop posting before now, and I just haven't gotten around to it for a variety of reasons. Well, that day is fast approaching. My 2-year anniversary as a podcaster is the end of March, and last new episode that I'm going to post to Podomatic will be the 2-year anniversary episode on March 27th. And after that, I'm not going to post any more live episodes. Now, I don't think I'm going to take any down, because, if somebody wants to download an old episode, that's fine. But I'm not going to post any new ones. The only thing after that will just be an announcement to that effect. Now, you can easily tell if you have the old feed, because the podcast episode will say, like this one, will say Amarin's 144P. The P stands for Podomatic. And if that's what you see in your iTunes or iPod or MP3 player or what have you, that means you've got the wrong feed and you're going to need to change it. The easiest way to do that is to go to the podcast website, aaronspodcast.com, go to the show notes for any episode, and click on the Subscribe with iTunes button. That is the easiest way. If you don't want to use iTunes or use a different system, you can subscribe directly to the RSS feed, which is feeds2, that's the number 2, .feedburner.com/aaronspodcast. And that, too, will get you the correct feed and not the old one. So that's a bit of a warning, because there's only a few more episodes to go until the end of March and the end of the Podomatic postings. So you have been warned. Now, that's it for the updates for now, anyway. Yesterday was the culmination of the blackout protest that you may or may not have been aware of. It started with people blacking out their avatars or pictures on Twitter and other services, including Facebook and MySpace. Well, sort of MySpace, but that's a whole other issue. And then yesterday, the 23rd, New Zealand websites blacked out their content, most of them just in the morning. Some, I think, went a bit longer. And it was all a protest to the revised copyright law. Section 92A is the bone of contention. Now, the copyright law was changed by the last government, the Labour-led government, and some of the changes were good. It allowed format shifting for the first time ever, which means that you can take your CDs and rip them to MP3s so you can play them on your iPod or what have you. Up until then, that was actually illegal in New Zealand. And there was an interesting state of affairs a few years back when iPods were first introduced, because they were introduced, I think, a good 2 years before we got our own iTunes music store. And that meant that, and the other music stores that were available in New Zealand sold songs in Windows Media format because of the inherent digital rights management that's built into that. And I've forgotten what it's called. Anyway, what that meant is that at that time, it was illegal to have songs on your iPod, because there was no legal way to buy MP3s. And it was a very odd state of affairs, but one that ultimately was fixed when the iTunes Music Store opened, and then, of course, the copyright law was also changed to allow this format shifting, which came none too soon. That was part of the good thing, although a bad thing about that is that I only learned yesterday, I think it was, that there's a two-year sunset clause on that, that if Parliament doesn't renew it, that will automatically expire in 2 years and it will again become illegal to format shift. The main opponents, well, I'll get back to that. The 92A, this section that everybody was protesting about, requires that ISPs, internet service providers, terminate the internet connections of repeat offenders of people. These are people who repeatedly download or upload copyrighted materials without authorization. And it's a bone of contention, because there's nothing in the law that says what constitutes a repeat offender, what constitutes what evidence is required, rather, for the ISPs to act. And it boiled down to a situation where, on the face of it at least, it's a guilt by accusation situation, where all the copyright holder has to do is say, you downloaded, this person downloaded illegal material, and the ISP is obligated to disconnect them. Now, conservatives said that that was nonsense, that the ISPs would require a standard of proof that would hold up in court. But, I mean, if you stop to think about it, how likely is that really? Because that would mean that the ISPs would risk facing lawsuits from some of the biggest media conglomerates in the world. Are they really going to do that? And chances are that they would err on the side of caution and disconnect people. And then it would be up to the customer to file a suit, which they probably couldn't, or more likely go to what we call the disputes tribunal and try to get it resolved there. And it's a total mess, primarily because of the vagueness and the lack of clarity in the law. And that's really what the protest was about. Well, yesterday, and this is why the podcast ended up being canceled at the last minute, my posting of it, yesterday the Prime Minister announced that he was delaying implementation of the law for a month, until March 27th, to give the industry and the music industry an opportunity to come up with a code of practice, a voluntary code of practice, for how they're going to do this. If they can't, it's possible that they will just put it on mothballs altogether with an idea toward rewriting it. But here's the thing. Today, speaking on a breakfast program called Sunrise, I think the Prime Minister let slip why they were so reluctant to do anything about this, and why this, how this clause got into the legislation in the first place after the parliamentary committee had deleted it. The minister in charge at the time put it back. And the reason is that in order to get a free trade deal with the U.S., we have to have something like that in our copyright law because the U.S. entertainment industry insists on it. And Australia is putting an even worse copyright law through, and that's a whole other issue. But this particular provision, I mean, the Prime Minister mentioned the U.K., and he's not well-informed on that issue, shall we say. The U.K. considered a provision very similar to the 92A and rejected it as unworkable. Germany said it wasn't fit for Europe, and the European Union also rejected the very same sort of provision. So the Prime Minister hasn't been well-served by his cabinet ministers if they're telling him that the U.K. has implemented it, because they haven't. There is obviously some sort of need for a copyright law that reflects the realities of the modern world and the internet age, but this wasn't it. This was entirely the wrong way to go. And I think what we'll ultimately end up with is some sort of adjudicator-type system where the copyright holders can go to them and say, this person is infringing on our copyrights. It can be investigated and prosecuted, and the person who is alleged to have done it will be able to defend themselves. Rather than a guilt by accusation, it'll go back to the traditional innocent until proven guilty, which is as it should be. But the recording industry, who is the main driver of all of this, of course, is not doing itself any favors. They have claimed, and I have to laugh every time I say this, they've claimed that 95% of all music downloads in New Zealand are illegal. Now, that is absurd on the face because of how wildly successful not only iTunes Music Store, but also Vodafone Music and others are. And I got to thinking about how on earth they could have come up with this number. Now, I have read that they hired a company to come up with these statistics in order to prove their case. In other words, it's like a pharmaceutical company releasing a study that finds that their drug is perfectly safe. Well, of course it will. So it's one of those. It sounds like one of those situations where they went shopping for statistics to back up their claim. I suspect that what they count as an illegal download is everyone that doesn't come from an authorized source, like iTunes Music Store or Vodafone Music or what have you. And that so if you download from a free music site, and there are thousands, well, I mean not thousands, there are hundreds all over the internet for including independent and non-commercial artists who post their music for free on their own websites to services that, say, serve podcasters like Podsafe Music Network or Jamendo or any number of other places where you can legally download music without paying for it. I suspect that they are counting those as being illegal downloads because there's no other way that they could have come up with that figure of 95% of all music downloads in New Zealand being illegal. It's just stupid on the face of it. So it's the music industry in particular that is pushing this, as in so many other countries. But the reason why we were being saddled with it was the U.S. entertainment industry, which insists on it for a free trade deal. And successive governments in New Zealand, regardless of party, want a free trade agreement with the U.S. Now, I've before expressed some uncertainty about that because the U.S. has often boasted that it's never signed a free trade deal that disadvantages itself. In other words, it never gives up anything for a free trade deal. It only gets, in other words. So that's what that was all about. It was probably the most successful grassroots campaign of its type ever. It's probably one of the first that was ever spread by Twitter, partly thanks to Stephen Fry and who spread the message to his 200,000 followers on Twitter and spread from there. And that's the story of the blackout. It is over for now, but the story isn't, at least not for another month or so. And I'll certainly update that when the time comes. But that's it for today, everybody. I will talk to you again later this week, and I hope you have a good rest of the week. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.